that slide went up. Have you heard that a general election has been called? No? Oh, where have you been? So, in a, not very long, if you're over 18, you're going to get the opportunity to go to the polls and elect a Member of Parliament, an MP. Someone who will go to Parliament to represent you, to make decisions according to the policies that they'd said they'd stand for, and to do what they believe would be best for us and for the nation. And actually, whether you're over 18 or not, that person will represent you. If you live in Slough, then a bunch of people who take the responsibility and decide to go and vote will be electing an MP. And they will, if you live in Slough, they represent you, no matter how old you are, even though it's only the adults over 18s who can go and vote. There's one person who will represent everyone in Slough in Parliament. Sometimes one person can represent a lot of other people. We see that in some really big ways. Sometimes we see it in much smaller ways too. Oh, there it is. And if you're at school, you might have a school council in your school. Who has a school council kind of thing? Some people in their class are in school council, particularly in primary schools and things like that. You might have someone who is nominated to be on your school council. And the whole point of that is that you sometimes in classes they even have a little vote as to who it is who's going to be on the school council. And they're then someone who goes and talks to the head teacher or the leadership at the school, and they in some way represent your class or your year, that they go and say, well, this is what we think about what's going on in school, or this is what we think about the stuff that you've changed, or what makes us happy, or what we don't like that much. They represent your class and the views of your class. One person represents a whole class. The idea of one person representing lots of people is really important today. It came up a little bit in our reading in John chapter 11. We had these words. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, stood up and said, "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it's better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." What was going on at that time is that they were seeing that loads of people were starting to follow Jesus. Jesus had just raised someone from the dead. He just raised Lazarus from the dead, is the story right before that. And loads of people were starting to believe in Jesus. Because if you saw someone bring someone who's dead back to life, it might make you think the person who's done that was someone particularly special. And so loads of people were starting to follow Jesus. And some of the Jewish leaders weren't too happy about that because they were worried that they might get in big trouble with the Romans because of all that was going on. And people were getting a bit too excited and they were worried that the Romans might come and cause them trouble. So this one guy with the funny name Caiaphas came along and said, "Well, what? You don't get it, guys. All we need to do is get rid of Jesus and then this whole thing is going to fall apart. If we can just kill Jesus, then there'll be no one for them to follow anymore. Otherwise, it looks like the whole world's going to believe in Jesus." Quite funny words in some way. But the reading goes on to say something that Caiaphas doesn't really know the full meaning of what he's saying. And it goes on to tell us that that's just what Jesus is going to do. That Jesus is in fact going to die, not just to stop people following him, but Jesus is going to die for a whole nation. In fact, Jesus is going to die for all the children of God. He's saying that Jesus would die for others. That somehow what Jesus was going to do when he died, he would represent other people. We've been thinking a bit about that unknown warrior. And I told you that story earlier of how the unknown warrior came to be chosen and to be buried in Westminster Abbey. I actually didn't know anything about that story really properly fully till about a year ago. I read through all that was about and I didn't understand all that had happened and how that had all happened now 99 years ago. And I think it's an amazing story of what they did. And an amazing thing that anyone could believe that that unknown warrior might have been someone from their family. If you've got a distant relative a few generations back maybe who fought and who died in World War I, who knows? In fact, that person could even be someone related to someone in this room. That's the whole thing, because there were so many people who were unknown. The idea was that anyone could believe that it might be someone related to them, that it would represent all of those who had died. And there's something about what's going on there when Jesus died on the cross, that it was to represent other people. They took this one soldier to represent all of them. Jesus, when he died on the cross, said that he was dying our death. Without knowing it, that Caiaphas was talking about Jesus' death, that he would die for others, and that he would die in our place, for all of God's people. That Jesus, in his death, can represent us, can represent all who believe in him. And today we might even say that what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, to believe in Jesus means something a bit like saying that you want Jesus to represent you. That when Jesus died on the cross, to believe in him is to say that Jesus represented you when he died on the cross. At the end of the gravestone that's over the tomb of the unknown warrior, it talks about why he died. It talks about being for king and for country. But also at the end says that this unknown soldier died for the freedom of the world. This unknown soldier died for the freedom of the world. And we'd say that Jesus did just the same for us, that he died so that we could be free. But Jesus Jesus didn't just die, Jesus rose again. Actually, it gets better than just someone dying for us. Sometimes when you represent others, you get some kind of special privilege. So if you represent your class at school, you might be privileged enough to have a school council badge that you can wear. And I know one child who takes great pride in wearing their school council badge to show that they have this kind of special privilege and responsibility. If you get elected as a member of parliament, you get all sorts of special privileges and responsibilities. Sometimes where you represent others, you receive something. And this unknown warrior was honoured in a really special way. This unknown warrior was given this huge funeral. We had all this special stuff that we talked about, 19-gun salute, and all the people standing around, and all the flowers, and the king coming and laying a wreath on his coffin. There is no way that that person, that soldier who died, deserved any of that. There is no way that he would have ever received that in any other way. But actually, he received something that he didn't deserve. He received this hugely special honour as he represented all these other people who died. He was buried in Westminster Abbey, where kings were buried, where some of the most special people have been buried. And thousands of people came. Jesus didn't just die, but he came back to life again. And we believe that he still represents us, not just in his death, but in coming back to life. And because of what Jesus did, actually we get what we don't deserve. That if Jesus represents us in coming back to life again, we get what we don't deserve too. The Bible says that if we believe in him, then God comes and lives in us by his Holy Spirit. That we receive life that goes on forever. That like Jesus, death isn't the end for us. That we have the hope of a whole new world that God will create and is already showing us signs of now. Jesus' death gives us what we don't deserve, God's presence and never-ending life. It also said something there in our reading in verse 52, not just that Jesus would die for people, but Jesus would do it to bring people together, to bring them together and to make them one. At its best, Parliament, all of us getting the opportunity to elect an MP, should be something that brings us together. At its best. We won't talk about present situations. But if we look back, 99 years, that's what happened. When they had this huge funeral for this unknown warrior, it brought people together. Over 1 million people. They didn't really know how it would be received. They didn't really know how it would be received when they planned this whole funeral. They didn't know how the public would respond. But in the first week, over 1 million people went to Westminster Abbey to go and see where this unknown warrior had been buried. They invited people who had lost family members in the war to come and lay flowers at the cenotaph, that big memorial in London that was you saw uncovered in that video, where there'll be remembrance today. And for hours and hours, women came who'd lost their sons or lost their husband, and they came and laid flowers at that memorial at the cenotaph while that funeral service was going on for the unknown warrior, until they piled up high around that memorial. What they did brought people together by allowing one person to represent so many who had died. And the Bible there says that's what Jesus was doing for us too. That in one person who would represent us all, who would die for us all, did it to bring us together. That as we believe in him, we'd come together and be one family. That we'd recognise that actually all of us are valuable and important. All of us have equal worth because all of us are loved by the Father. All of us are worth Jesus' life, that he would choose to give himself for us. Jesus' death was meant to bring us together, to make us one, and to be at peace with each other. But there's a difference between that soldier and thinking about Jesus. The whole point of that soldier is that they would be unknown, that no one knows who that is, and no one will ever know who that soldier is. But we know who Jesus is. We'll never know the name of the person buried in that tomb, but we can know the name of Jesus. We can know that he died for us. And unlike the soldier who died and we know where he's buried, Jesus is alive. He has no grave because he rose from the dead. And we can know him today. The soldier represents the sad story of many who died in war. Jesus represents a name. And we're told in the Bible that all who call upon the name of the Lord, all who call on Jesus' name, will be saved. I'm going to pray and then Helen's going to lead us on. Let's pray together. Father, as today we remember those who sadly died in war and this unknown warrior who represents so many who suffered, we thank you that you can give us hope in Jesus Christ. We thank you that where we see the worst of what people can do to each other, we see the greatest of your love shown for us in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that in Jesus we can find hope, that in Jesus we can find life, that in Jesus we can know a future. And Lord, if we've never done it before, would you help us to know that Jesus can represent us on the cross, died for us, that we might know you and live with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.